Yarrala Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallava Girivara Gari Gopijana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana
Yashoda Nandana
Braja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Nitya Gaura Hari Bol 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 Nitya Gaura Hari Bol Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Sattara Sattara Sissima Krishna Divine Grace Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Sila Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Kohosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrindaki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhanki Ganga Maiki Jamuna Maiki Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki Gora Premanandi All glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Shishi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 8, text 28. Kadamba kinjalka pisanga bashasha Swalankritam makkalayat nitambe Swalankritam makkalayat nitambe Harina chananta dannina vatsa Shivatsa vakshaha stala valavena I'll read the translation for this verse and then we'll do a full presentation on the text number 29. So the translation by His Divine Srila Prabhupada, "Oh, my dear Vidura, the Lord's waist was covered with yellow cloth resembling the saffron dust of the Kadamba flower, and it was encircled by a well-decorated belt. His chest was decorated with a Srivas Martin and a necklace of unlimited value." So we'll go to text 29, and then we will ask different devotees to chant as well. Parardhya keyura mani praveka. Parardhya keyura mani praveka. Paryasta dordanda sahasra shakam. Abhyakta mulam bhuvanangri prendram. Abhyakta mulam bhuvanangri vendram. Ahindra bhogaira divita valsam. Please chant. Anybody? Paradhyā keyura mani praveka. Paryasta daranda sahasra sakam. Abhyakta mulam bhuvanam gripendram. Ahindra bhugaira divita valsam. Parardhya keyura mani praveka. Paryasta daganda sahasra sakam. Abhyakta mulam bhuvanam gripendram. Ahindra bhagaira divita balsam. Anybody else? Mothers? Paradhyā keyura mani praveka. Paryasta dardanda sahasra sakam. Abhyakta mulam bhuvanam gripendram. Ahindra bhugaira divita valsam. Anybody else? Okay. So, a word-by-word translation, please repeat after me. Paradhyā, very valuable. Keyura, ornaments. Mani praveka, highly valuable jewels. Paryasta, disseminating. Dordanda, arms. Sahasra shakam, with thousands of branches. Abhyakta mulam, self-situated. Bhuvana, universal. Angripa, trees. Indram, the Lord. Ahi Indra, Anantadev. Bogai, by hoods. Adivita, surrounded. Balsam, shoulders. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As a sandalwood tree is decorated with fragrant flowers and branches, the Lord's body was decorated with valuable jewels and pearls. He was the self-situated tree, the Lord of all others in the universe, and as a sandalwood tree is covered with many snakes, so the Lord's body was also covered by the hoods of Ananta. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Abhyakta Mulam is significant here. Generally, no one can see the roots of a tree, But as far as the Lord is concerned, he is the root of himself, because there is no other separate cause of his standing but he himself. In the Vedas, it is said that the Lord is Swasra Yashraya. He is his own support, and there is no other support for him. Therefore, Avyakta means the Supreme Lord himself and no one else. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Kalaya Shumate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Kirane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vali Pracharine Nirvishesha Shvinda Vali Paschatyaya Satarine Om Magyana Temirandasya Janandana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Okay, the translation again of text number 29. As a sandalwood tree is decorated with fragrant flowers and branches, the Lord's body was decorated with valuable jewels and pearls. He was the self-situated tree, the Lord with of all others in the universe. And as a sandalwood tree is covered with many snakes, so the Lord's body was also covered by the hoods of Ananta. Okay. So we're going to do a recap again a little bit, because we are at the end of this third canto, chapter 8. So we are at the end. There is only a couple more verses left here, three verses. So we'll recap a little bit here. These are the instructions of Maitreya Muni to Vidura. Now, Maitreya Muni, as was said in previous classes, learned this knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam from his teacher Parasara Muni. Parasara Muni, again, learned this knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam from his teacher Sanat Kumar. And Sanat Kumar learned this information and knowledge of the Bhagavatam from Sankhyayana Babaji, who was in the conversation, or listened to the conversation that Krishna had with Uddhava. So, at the beginning of the third canto, Vidura inquired from Uddhava, but Uddhava said, well, Maitreya Muni is elder, is an elder senior Vaishnava, you should go to him and ask this question. Because he, Vidura, wanted to get the answers to all the questions that he had concerning the material and the spiritual world, who he was, why the material entities are suffering in the material world, and so on. So this is the process, the Vaishnava process, of learning the absolute truth. Actually, it's passed on from teacher to disciple, and then this disciple eventually becomes the teacher that will give that information to others. The information we are talking about is the information of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The heart of that knowledge is, it was explained very well actually by that excellent class on Sunday by Ghanashyam Prabhu, and he was explaining how the Lord has primary incarnations, and those incarnations are basically the Lord himself that is expanding into other incarnations. And then he has secondary incarnations, which are fragmental parts of himself, which are eternally fragmental. They are fragmented from him for the purpose of lila or pastime or diversification. And so now these verses that we have been reading here from the chapter 8 are the descriptions of Mahavishnu lying on the causal ocean, and Lord Brahma is trying to find the origin of himself, who is sitting on this lotus flower. And so he enters into the root of that lotus flower that he's sitting on, but he couldn't find the beginning of it. So he came back. But then he starts seeing, by the mercy of the Lord, that Well, he starts saying, "Oh, my dear Vidura, the Lord's waist was covered with yellow cloth resembling the saffron dust of the Kadamba flowers. And he was encircled by a well-decorated belt. His chest was decorated with a shivatsa marking and a necklace of unlimited value." Then he also saw that as a sandalwood tree is decorated with fragrant flowers and branches, the Lord's body was decorated with valuable jewels and pearls. He was the self-situated tree, the Lord of all others in the universe. And as a sandalwood tree is covered with many snakes, so the Lord's body was also covered by the hoods of Ananta. So Ananta Shesha is the multi-headed serpent that creates like a bed for the Lord to lie on. So now, let me tell you a poem that I wrote once. In 1986, when I was in New Vrindavan, and I was in the Prashadam Hall, and that Prashadam Hall had a beautiful painting of Lord Vishnu, exactly like is depicted here, beautiful painting. I don't know who did it, it could have been Murli Dhar. I think they had the traits of Murli Dhar. Anyway, Murli Dhar Prabhu. So it was Mahavishnu lying down on the hoods, on the serpent, Ananta Shesha. And so I wrote this poem, very short poem, in Spanish, because that's my mother tongue. And then I translate it into English. So let me tell you the Spanish version, and then I'll give you the translation, because it's exactly what this verse is talking about here right now, and what has been explained and discussed by other speakers in the Bhagavatam class. So in Spanish, the poem goes like this. Mira, 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 he visto los ojos del tiempo, cobras salvajes, escupiendo fuego en el universo. Vuélvete sabio, ríndete. Behold, 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 I have seen the eyes of time, wild cobras spitting fire into the universe. Be wise, surrender. Mira, 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 behold, behold, behold. He visto los ojos del tiempo. I have seen the eyes of time. Cobras salvajes escupiendo fuego en el universo. Spitting fire. Wild cobras spitting fire into the universe. Vuélvete sabio. Be wise. Ríndete, surrender. So the poem basically is almost a depiction of this verse here, because Ananta Shesha is the eyes of time. Also, I believe Mother Akuti was speaking about this during his Bhagavatam class a few weeks ago, how the eyes of time come from Ananta Shesha. There was a verse concerning this before. Now, if you think about it, it's the eyes of time. And also, wild cobras spitting fire into the universe. Fire. Fire meaning from the tongues of Ananta Shesha. The universe is being consumed, but at the same time, it's being renovated, because that's what fire does. It purifies things. That's what Ananta Shesha is doing. It's purifying the universe with the tongues of fire. And like that, time is going by, the eyes of time. Now, in Badra's class, I believe it was on Friday, someone brought up this question, well, is this a science or mythology, just poetry? What is poetry anyway? Why are we writing poems? Well, is the Bhagavad Gita, this is beautiful poetry, but is this a science or is this mythology? Someone brought up this question. But it was properly answered that what Srila Prabhupada brought to us was the science of the soul, the science of self-realization. It is an actual science. So what is a science? Science is the consciousness, the knowledge, which is based on the scientific method. The scientific method has three parts. It has a claim, it has the gathering of information or facts, and number three, the conclusion or understanding of these facts to verify the claim. What is our claim? What is the claim of the Vaishnava philosophy brought to us by Srila Prabhupada? Well, the claim is that God is a person, number one. God is a person. And we are fragmental parts of that person, Krishna. And Krishna has different, many incarnations or expansions of himself. So Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is an expansion of another expansion of Krishna, which is, who is Shankarshan. Shankarshan is the original expansion from where the Vishnus come, the three kinds of Vishnus, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, Karanodakashayi Vishnu, Shiradakashayi Vishnu. They come from Shankarshan. And Shankarshan is one of the four or quadruple expansions of Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram is an expansion from Lord Krishna. So, as we see here, it says he was, Krishna is well situated, like a well situated tree, the Lord of all others in the universe, and as a sandalwood tree is covered with many snakes. So that's what we are talking about here. But also, he is the support of himself. He's not supporting on anything or anyone else. He is the support of the universe. Now we have here the deities of Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna on the altar. Who is leaning on whom? Lord Balaram is leaning on Krishna. He has his hands supporting himself on Krishna. That is telling us that who is the support of Lord Balaram is Krishna. Who is the support of the universe is Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. And what is Krishna doing? Krishna is playing on his flute. And that is our scientific claim. That the Lord of the universe, Krishna, creates the universe by playing on his flute. And the flute, as we discussed previously, is an instrument, probably the most exact, subtle, and precise instrument by which sound can be controlled. You know, like we have a couple of instruments here that I have. So when Krishna plays on his flute, he is giving that knowledge to Lord Brahma to create the universes. He's giving the knowledge of the Vedas. And the sound of the instrument is very refined and subtle because the universe, the material universe, according to quantum physics, is vibration, is in vibration. Everything that we see, everything that we perceive is created by vibrational energy. It's a vibration, it's a frequency. The atom, the model of the atom and the different particles, atomic particles, although it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, comes from sound. Not that there is, if you divide this piece of wood into very small pieces, you are not going to get another very small piece called the atom. It's actually a frequency, a vibration, that in that vibration is creating that particular matter. Anyway, so another way to understand the material universe, which comes from quantum physics, vibrational physics. And the most subtle form to control that or to create that knowledge of the universe is through the sound of a flute, specifically a Bansuri flute. Of course, Krishna plays three, Bansi, Bansuri, and Murali. As we chant every morning, Venum quanam tam aravindam delayataksam I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute. With blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with peacock's feather, with a figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. That's all he's doing. He's playing on his flute, and he's controlling the vibrations, the frequencies of the universe. Let me see if I can play this, although, again, I'm not practiced this morning. I'm giving a class. But I wanted to show you my Atmarama flute. This is what I call the Atmarama. On his flute, and he's controlling the vibration, the knowledge, and what happens when he plays on this flute. As we read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we gave a class on this, Madhyam, fourth chapter, text 138 through 141, that when Krishna plays on his flute, the dresses of the gopis get loosened, and the gopis become very attracted to meet Krishna in the forest. So, what that means is that when Krishna plays on his flute, the souls become attracted by the music, and they're all going to want to go and meet with him. So, wouldn't you want to be there? But Krishna, a lot of people think, well, we have to die, or we have to pass in order to be with Krishna, or to hear his music. No, no, no. Krishna is not like very far away, millions of miles away. No, no. Krishna is hiding in your heart. The Supreme Lord is right inside of you as the Paramatma. He's just waiting. Actually, Ghanashyam Prabhu was talking about this on Sunday, how there are two birds on a branch sitting, that analogy. So the Paramatma is there waiting, and he's playing on his flute. And you can listen to that flute also. You just have to tune in to the melody, to the vibrations that are created by his beautiful flute. But regardless if you are here or if you pass, the important thing is that you think of Krishna at all times. Because when you are thinking of Krishna, then you are with Krishna. And as we discussed previously in previous classes, now, because of the great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna has come to us in the form of the sound of his name. So the sound of the flute of Krishna is the same as the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Very, very beautiful. So this is the great mercy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought, that we can be with Krishna at all times by chanting his name. And if you chant his name, you said, well, can I do something else? Yes, you can chant his name in kirtan, in bhajan, You can even read Bhagavatam. This is also chanting Krishna's glories. If you read Bhagavatam, you can associate with devotees and disguise the glories of Krishna. So what are we doing when we chant the holy names? Well, in the Padyavali by Srila Rupa Goswami, there are different, it's an anthology of verses, chosen verses from the Vaishnava Acharyas. And this one, is there are three that I wanted to read for you here. They are very beautiful. When you chant the names of Krishna, you are actually with the Supreme Lord, right there in his presence. And that's what is important. Because you, eventually, you are going to see the eyes of time. Either you are seeing them, the eyes of time now, or you will see them at the end. It doesn't matter. You are, eventually, the eyes of time are going to come to you, and you are going to see how time in your life is going by. So, regardless if we are here in this lifetime, like I'm here in front of you and you are seeing me in this three-dimensional form in a four-dimensional universe, or if you see spiritual forms, still you can connect with Krishna through the holy names. And this is what we are doing. Chetta darpana marchanam baba mahadabhagni nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyabhadu Jivanam Anandam Buddhi Bardhanam Pratipadam Parnam Utta Swadhanam Sarbhatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is the nectar that we are always hankering. Cleanses the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. Because material existence always brings the threefold miseries, right? The threefold miseries of life. And so how did we fall into this situation? We fall into this situation because as soon as you forget Krishna, as soon as you don't put Krishna in the center of your activities, then you identify, you meaning the jiva, or the atma becomes a jiva by identifying with prakriti, with material nature. And by identification with the character, identification with the persona. I'm white, I'm Chinese, I'm American. You identify with that person, that body that you have. But the fact is that you are not that body, you are other than that body, because that body is temporary, believe me. You folks here, I see, you're all young people. Believe me, you'll grow old. You'll be to be my age pretty soon, in a few years. It just takes a few years. Before you know it, it's like, oh my God, how did I get to be 70? Or 75 or 80? How did I get to be here? Before you know it, you are that age. It just passed, just like that, in the blink of an eye. And then you are at 70 or 75, and then you start seeing those eyes of time. The Ananta Shesh, oh my God, what did I do in my life? How did that happen? So before you get there, this is what we are talking about. It's like Prahlad Maharaj was telling the other students. He's like, now that we are young, this is the time to remember Krishna, not when you are just in your 70s or 80s and you have forgotten everything. Now the problem is that there's another verse here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nam nana karibu bahuda niyasarva saktis tatrar pita nijamitaha smarane nakalaha Tadri sita bakri pa bagaban mama pi durdai banti drisam baj tajani nanuraga ha. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. That's the problem. We think we are going to live forever. Death will not come to us. Oh, I can see people dying around me. My parents passed away. My grandparents passed away. This friend passed away. But it's not going to happen to me. I'll chant later. Oh, when I have time, yeah, I'll chant later. Right now, I don't need to chant. I have no attraction for the names. But the problem is that, well, the issue is that by chanting the names, you are connecting with Krishna. And if you get to that realization, then you understand that if you are alive in this four-dimensional universe, or if you are not, if you are just in your spiritual body, as long as you are with Krishna, you're safe, you're okay. You are with Krishna. It doesn't matter if you are in this lifetime or in the next lifetime. It doesn't matter which lifetime you are in. That question I presented myself recently, a few months ago, about 9 months ago, when I was given a diagnosis of an illness that I had, which was life-threatening. Very life-threatening. I mean, I'm still going through it, but I'm getting out of it by Krishna's mercy. The doctor claims that it's his good doing that he found out the solution to save my life, but the fact is that Krishna had already saved me because Krishna wanted me to be here a little bit longer. That's why, I don't know. Krishna has given me a temporary worker's visa to remain in the material world. He wants me to do a little bit more service. So, no, I don't want you to come to the spiritual world yet. You can stay here a little bit longer. So Krishna already decided, and the doctor now is claiming that, oh, I am the one who found the magic prescription drug that will save you. No, well, it was Krishna all along that he put that information into the doctor's head. But I did went through very difficult circumstances, and I did see the eyes of time. And when I saw the eyes of time, I realized, whoa, wait a second. Okay, I went and told my daughter Bhakti, you probably know her. She comes here and chants beautiful bhajans. And Bhakti Devi said, well, Pita, if Krishna wants to kill you, nobody can save you. But if Krishna wants to save you, nobody can kill you. So why don't you ask Krishna, see what Krishna wants to do? So that's what happened. I went to Krishna and I said, well, Krishna, what do you want me to do? He said, then there were two personalities that came and brought that information, that I was supposed to be here a little bit longer to do some service. I don't know exactly what the end of it, but will be, but I'm definitely here and I'm coming back, and I've been in a very situation where for months I couldn't even do anything. You know, it's just, I couldn't even walk from here to there. I was in a very bad situation, but I'm getting out of that situation by Krishna's mercy. So when you get to that position, then you realize, well, if I chant the names, I'm okay. If I pass right now, but I'm chanting and remembering Krishna, it will be the same thing that if I am here in the four-dimensional world chanting the holy names. It's the same. It's the same thing. Because I am living with my Atma, my spirit. And so I thought that the name is the way, the means of salvation, the means of connecting with Krishna is the easiest, believe me, it is the easiest way you can connect with God. The easiest way to be present in this world and in the next, and to be free from anxiety and fear. You won't have any fear or anxiety. If you pass tomorrow or the next day or 2 years from now or 10 years, it's all the same. So as long as you are thinking of Krishna, always think of me. Right? That's the verse 1868 of Bhagavad Gita. Always think of me. So if you are always thinking of Krishna, then it's the same if you are in this lifetime or the next lifetime. It's always the same because you are with Krishna. So now, how do we get to chant the holy name so we can be always with Krishna? So Mahaprabhu gave us the answer right here, text 32 of this Padyavali text. Trinata pisunicce na tarorivas hisnuna amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily, always chant the holy name of the Lord. Very easily. It's not like, oh man, now I gotta chant 16 rounds. Oh my God. Oh, today is Ekadasi, I gotta chant 20, not just 16, but 20. No. Make a rosary in your mind with the name. Always chant the holy names of God. Always, always chant Hare Krishna. Always be in God's presence by the chanting of the names. If you remain in that state, of course, I don't know. As I say, I've gone through very difficult situation, and I'm a little bit older than you folks are here. So when you get to that state, it's like, well, you become very humble because you realize how time goes by, and actually the material body that you have is going to disintegrate anyway. So it is maybe a little bit easier to realize this Trinata Pisunichena once you grow older. But it would be to your advantage if you realize that when you are younger, when you have the energies to do what? To do devotional service, to do bhakti. Because that is the means by which we can do this, get these realizations. So how do we achieve that? It's by doing devotional service to a person. And also this, we had a long discussion after during Prasham last Sunday, which was concerning this, that you cannot get these realizations by reading books or scholarship. You can learn Sanskrit, like we have great Sanskrit scholars that have translated these books. They are Sanskrit scholars, fantastic. There are devotees here, and I know I'm part of different sanghas where they are very great scholars. They know verses in Sanskrit, backwards and forwards and so on. But you cannot get the realization of what we are talking about here, of these verses of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by a scholarship. The Prabhupada said, actually, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita 141, Madhyam 141, that it's not by scholarship or by jnana. In other words, I think there was a speaker, I don't remember his name, he was the devotee that came from Yuhu Beach, and he was saying the same thing. Jnana is not the same as bhakti. And I remember I was here, I said, well, wait a second, but transcendental knowledge, jnana, is bhakti. Yes, transcendental knowledge is bhakti, but not jnana. Knowledge of things, knowledge of knowing books is not the same. So transcendental knowledge is the key, the knowledge of what we are discussing about here, that Krishna plays on his flute and is attracting the conditioned souls to him, to the spiritual world, and that the chanting of the holy names brings us to that point of realization. That is bhakti, that is transcendental knowledge, it's the same as bhakti. But if you have knowledge, if you can read all the books in the library, and you won't have bhakti. Kushakrata Prabhu, who was a great, he's the translator of this book, actually, that I was talking about, Padyavali, from what I'm reading. Now Kushakrata, he was, as Pushkar was telling me, he had read all the books in the library by the age of like 23 or something. He's one of those geniuses that can fast read books, and he knew so much. He was an amazing. But what did he do as soon? Well, he told Pushkar, he said, well, of all the books, the highest book that I've read in this library is the Bhagavad Gita. What did he do as soon as he found Prabhupada? He took initiation. Now that's a smart person. Be wise. Surrender. He surrendered to whom? To a spiritual master. To a teacher. What did Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj do? He surrendered to Gaurakishore Das Babaji. What did Srila Prabhupada do? He surrendered to the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. There is a story when he was with many other devotees listening to Bhagavatam from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, and all of a sudden someone said, well, we are going to go on Parikram, who wants to come? And a lot of devotees left, but Prabhupada stayed listening. So, and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, well, why don't you go with the other devotees on the Parikram? He said, no, I'm happy here listening from your instructions. Why? Because the only way you can obtain bhakti is by surrender to a person that is the Vaishnava principle. So a person who comes in the parampara brings this knowledge to the devotees, and when you surrender to that person, you get that mercy. You cannot get it any other way. I'm sorry. You can read all the books you want on your own. You can chant. Well, but that's nice. It's nice if you chant 50 rounds or 60 rounds or 84 rounds. That's fine. It's fine. That's good. In fact, if you are so eager to chant the holy names, Krishna will send you a teacher. But ultimately, you do have to surrender to that person, that teacher, that is going to give you the bhakti, is going to give you devotional service. So once we ourselves... Can you imagine how fortunate we are? It's unbelievable that Prabhupada came just 50 years ago to America. Unbelievable. 60 years, 1965 would be like 59 years ago. And then he was here in 1977. Unbelievable. Here the Westerners, who were melechas, eating meat and having all kinds of intoxication and not being present, not understanding anything about anything. I mean, First World War, Second World War, these were disasters that we created here in the West. We were about to have a Third World War in the 1960s. I mean, the Russians, they just moved in their atomic bombs to Cuba. There was a Cold War. The United States government, they had planes with bombs that were going to bomb Russia. There were a lot of mishaps in between. I mean, we could have destroyed the world by now. But why didn't it happen? Well, Krishna didn't want it, and he sent some help. What was that help? He sent Srila Prabhupada here to the West, 1965. We are very lucky that a person that was self-realized, who got this mercy from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj in the Parampara, came here to America just a few years ago. Unbelievable. And that's why we are here today, and we are chanting Hare Krishna, trying to connect with God and following the principles and trying to get away from all that pain that the material world creates. So, anyway, I don't want to take too much of your time, and I'm sure there are some questions or... there may be some comments that will benefit all the devotees. So if you have any questions or comments, please, for the benefit of everyone here and also the people that are listening on the YouTube or Facebook page, please.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. I'm sorry I came late, but I made it in time for the flute recital, and I was very enchanted. Thank you. You mentioned the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is not going to be a discussion, but just a point of information that their heads of state and even the head, we have some devotees from Hungary. His name is Orban. Orban. No.
President of Hungary, you're saying?
Yeah, Prime Minister. Yeah.
And so they're. There are many thoughtful people, at least in terms of this world, who are convinced that the situation now is much more dangerous even than the Cuban Missile Crisis. Enough said. I was in Vrindavan And when Intrepidable was with us physically, and I was thinking how many Maha Mantras I had chanted till then, and it was something like 6 or 7 million, I don't remember the exact number, but it was into the millions of actual complete Maha Mantras. And I don't know, somehow or another I was communicating this to Indra Prabhu, and he became furious at me. He yelled at me, and he said, "You're not chanting Naam. You're not chanting Naam." And I was almost crying. He said, "Then what was I doing all this time?" So actual Naam is Shudana. But still, it's very beneficial, even if we're in the clearing stage and the offenses are being reduced, that's for sure. But of course, Indra Prabhu, you can say, was a little fanatic, but he was very, very stern and strict in this regard, that he was kind of like a wake-up call. And so we hope, I don't know about the rest of all of you, but in my own case, I hope that I can start to connect better and actually chant Naam, or at least more quickly become free of offenses against the holy name. Because on the one hand, we all chant, spend a lot of time chanting, and many of us, as you were pointing out, oh, I have to chant 16 rounds, and Mahatma Prabhu also sympathizes, not empathizes, but sympathizes with that attitude. So there's the answer, is that although we may be in the clearing stage where our offenses are reducing, but at the same time, if we're not getting as much of a taste as we want to, it's because we're not close enough to the actual holy name. So, as you were mentioning, the chanting is the name of the game, as we say, and we should always chant. But it really, you know, better late than never, we have to start becoming more mindful, more careful, that we're not just chanting like a parrot, but we're actually more determined to connect with the actual holy name. I don't think I'm saying anything controversial here.
No, this is what we are discussing, or what we're talking about. And of course, as you were saying, we are living in a very, very dangerous situation right now. Very dangerous. There is wars going on right now that are very dangerous. And somebody's making money from these wars by selling weapons and stuff. So the situation is always dangerous in the mature world. But that is for us to think about, that the missions of the mature world are here. They haven't disappeared. What Prabhupada has given us is the means by which we can get out of here. Just get out of here. You don't need to be in the mature world. Believe me, it's not a nice place. It looks like a nice place. And especially if you are in a temple like this, you are in a transcendental place, you are good. But as soon as you leave the association of devotees, you are by yourself out there in the mature world. And eventually you'll find out that this place is not nice. The threefold material miseries are a reality. And eventually you are going to find them. Now, it so happens that if the countries are governed by people that are not Krishna conscious, then those miseries are increased. Instead of decreasing the misery, they're increasing the miseries. It's ridiculous. So if you have a Second World War or a Third World War, I mean, all the suffering that came about because of that, those decisions made by those politicians, that's terrible. But the miseries are always going to be there. Even if you live in the nicest place in the world, there's always going to be a misery somewhere. So really, Prabhupada said, there's not a place for gentlemen. You got to get out of here. You got to take up the name as soon as you can start chanting. And most important, which is what I tell a lot of people, is that you need to find a doctor or someone that is going to help you by giving you the right medicine. And this is the medicine. This is our medicine. To get out of the miseries of the material world and the pain that is created by all these material desires, the medicine was given to us by the doctor, Srila Prabhupada, or by your current personal spiritual master. So if you have any questions, you gotta go either to your spiritual master that you have now that has given you initiation, or your Shiksha Guru who's giving you instruction. And if you are a devotee of Srila Prabhupada, for whatever reason you consider that Prabhupada is your guru because you met him in person, he gave you the name by mail or not, or he may be like, I was discussing this with Pran Govinda and other devotees, Pran Maharaj and other devotees. Yes, you can even have connected with Prabhupada through the Rhythmic system. It is possible, although it's not recommended in our Vaishnava principles. In our Vaishnava line, the name has to be given by a personal. In other words, a person guru is the one who brings you to Krishna. Not that you can just go to Krishna. But if you, for whatever reason, you're connected with Srila Prabhupada and you consider him your guru, and still, if you have realizations or connections with Prabhupada, it is very important to have the, you gotta reveal your mind to other devotees, senior devotees or a devotee that you trust, Guru Sadhu Shastra, Guru Shastra Guru, Guru Shastra Sadhu. In other words, you gotta go to the sadhus and you gotta reveal your mind. If your guru is not in the planet, is not here right now because he passed, not only Srila Prabhupada, but maybe other gurus that came after him, and then you took initiation from this guru, but your guru passed and is no longer here, and then you have certain realizations, it's good to go to sadhus. This is why sadhu sangha, the association with devotees, is very important and very powerful, because otherwise it's just you on your mind. You know, sometimes you think that, well, Prabhupada told me this, Prabhupada told me that. Well, maybe he did, but you got to go to your GBC or your Shiksha Guru or a senior disciple or devotees that you trust, and you got to confide in them those ideas. Anyway, any other question? All right, so we'll conclude right here, class. Thank you very much for attending and listening to a few words here from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Hare Bol.